Father, I thank you. As always, we know entrance of your word brings light. And I pray that people would truly get revelation of that and giving us understanding in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just share some exhortation today. I have another series that I'm going to start, but not quite right away, maybe next week. In the meantime, let's share a few exhortations with one another. Today, let's raise some valleys and level some mountains. Hallelujah. Raising valleys and leveling mountains. Before I get into that, I want to say something about the song we just heard. You know, God is constantly dishing things out. I mean, you know, open your mouth wide, the Lord says, and I will feel it. God is dishing things out. Claim yours today. Praise the Lord. Claim yours today. Whether it be healing, whether it be recovery, whether you're, you know, doing various things that you're aware of, miracles of supply. God is dishing these things out. Claim yours today in Jesus' name. God is also dishing out knowledge, wisdom from the word of God. Strategy. Strategy is so important. God is giving inspiration of the Almighty. Claim yours today. Hallelujah. Just be the fertile ground when the word of God lands on it to bring forth as it is intended. So claim yours today. Open up your heart to receive from the Lord. I'm going to take a spiritual reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And I'm reading from the King James, Isaiah chapter 40. I'm reading from the King James. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then come back and give my exhortation. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. That's where our text today is taken from. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Well, say unto the children of the Lord, behold your God. Behold, the God, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. Isn't that comforting? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? That's the Lord. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of their balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Even Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. Well, there's a lot of trees in Lebanon. Nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished, that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. Now, these are all the works of men's hands, that they make to themselves a god. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Well, have you not known, and have you not heard? Had he not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, the Lord, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, maketh even the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Bringeth thou their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one of his creation faileth. He put them out there, and nothing fails. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, or speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and that my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the reading of the word of the Lord today. Isaiah chapter 40. But let's go to our text that is taken from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. So today's lesson, raising the valleys and leveling the mountains. Praise the Lord. Now, what are those valleys? And what might those mountains be? Well, the valleys, you can consider them as the low aspects of your life. You know, those low moments and those low things, you know, and the times when we feel down and low and downcasted and so forth. When we are in the valley, you know, there's times when we are also on the mountaintop, you know, but there are also other mountains that are actually hindrances. Well, that's the one we want to talk about today. Mountains that are blocking your way. Not exactly your mountain of experience, or your experience on the mountain, but mountains that are blocking your way and valleys that seem to say, well, you can't get out of here. We got you trapped. Now, those low aspects of your life shall be exalted. And every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God in your life shall be brought low. Hallelujah. Let's read that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we read verses 3 to 6. Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against, not above, but against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness, avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. Now, I'm going to just read us some promises to encourage us this morning, that no matter what we're going through, and you know, we always go through, there's always ups and downs. The funny thing about life is, one day you're so excited, you're fired up, you're full of glory and full of light. Before you know it, the next thing, I mean, you're just down, weary and heavy and, for no reason. Well, that's because of the, when people dwell in the soulish realm, that's what happens. Because the soul is where all the emotions are. But God is wanting us to dwell in the spirit. The spirit of the Lord, you know, when our own spirit is united with the spirit of the Lord, we can be in a constant flow of his glory. But when we dwell in the flesh or dwell in the soul realm, then we're going to have these ups and downs. We're going to have moments of joy, moments of sadness, moments of grief. We're going to have situations when we are angry, bitter, when we are joyful, and all kinds of up and downs, just all in that soul. Now, the Lord will break down the gates and bars that are holding you back from attaining the fullness of whatever it is that God has promised and proposed for your life. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, I love this book of Isaiah, by the way. That's the commentary on my part. Anytime I want to get an uplift, I go to Isaiah for promises. So many of them. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Now, that's a point blank promise. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Praise the Lord. Well, the psalmist would sing this in a song later on and say, the Lord has broken the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Oh, that man would praise the Lord, the psalmist would say, for his goodness and for his mercies to the children of men. Why is that? Well, the psalmist said, because he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Psalm 107. Verses 15 and 16. But here it's given as a prophetic word. The Lord said, I'll go before you and I will break down the gates and bars that are holding you back. Hallelujah. They are also known as the gates of hell. That's right. Jesus was talking about it in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And he said, look, after that, Peter gave the revelation of who Jesus was. Jesus said, well, that's good. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. It's a powerful revelation. And he told him, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, which is this revelation of who Christ is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So these gates and bars and things like that, gates of hell. The Lord said, they will not prevail. They will struggle and strive with you, but they will not prevail against you. Let's read a few more promises. Just want to exhort us this morning. Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read the first four verses or so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In that day, such as today. Well, let me say to you also today, prophetically, you know, that on the 15th day of the month, the word of the Lord is coming to you today to say that in that day, you will sing this song in your hearts and in your homes. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. That's right. That's the word of the Lord to gates. You know, the Lord used to say things like, let. Let so powerfully when it comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let there be light. That's it. Once he says it like that, you know, that power, there's so much power in the word let. It means cause it to happen. That's right. Cause it to happen. Let there be light. Let the waters be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. Let the waters bring forth abundantly, you know, and so forth. Let this, let that, let this, and let that. And so the Lord now also says, open ye the gates. And let me say it this way. Let the gates be opened. Hallelujah. That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter. Well, let the gates be opened for the children of the Lord today. Hallelujah. And any things that have been holding back your success and progress, every so often, I like to come into these rooms and do these encouraging moments to help us to keep marching forward. Because no matter how joyful we are one day, it just so seems that people are in this kind of yo-yo thing. Up one day, down another. Down one day and up the next. You know, and we have to deal with that. I recognize that that happens. But that's not really where God wants us to be. He wants us to flow constantly in victory. Praise the Lord. Now, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. That's a powerful scripture that you can always refer to. As long as your mind is on the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison, such as gates, to them that are bound or held behind bars. That's right. So gates and bars and various things that are, you know, hindering your progress or advancement, well, the word of the Lord's coming against those things here this morning. Praise the Lord. The Lord will take away all confusion as well. Here's the way he puts it in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. Talking about confusion. You know, the Lord will take that away. He said, I will bring the blind by the way that they know not. That's right. You know, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Well, that's, you know, confusion. Darkness and all of that that brings confusion. The Lord said, I will make that darkness light before them. I will make crooked places even straight. These things will I do unto them and will not forsake them. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at some other promises as well. Isaiah 43, and verse 18. And for this I say, never mind the past problems or past failures or past disappointments, even up until the present time. Guess what the Lord said? Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Don't worry about it. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Well, Waymaker. We sang that, read or listened to that song earlier. He's a Waymaker. Hallelujah. And rivers, he'll make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord. He can do all these things. You know, so there is coming a new flourishing. These are the words that I want to speak unto you today. There is coming forth a new flourishing into your life. Praise the Lord. Now, anytime when there is chaos and things are upside down and void and without purpose, God doesn't like that at all. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we see that when the earth was void and without form, when darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of the Lord didn't like any part of that. And as he began to move upon the face of the waters, he brought order out of all of that chaos. And there's nobody like the Holy Spirit that can bring form and purpose to a life that is without order, without purpose, and that full of chaos. So the Holy Spirit must be present. The Holy Spirit moved first before God began to say, let there be. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to move upon our lives, the results will be the same. The Holy Spirit can turn all that chaos and can make something fruitful out of it. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You know, when once he got rid of the chaos, he got rid of the confusion, the next thing was commanding them to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Well, let's remember also that many of these promises that we read in the book of Isaiah, they were prophetic at the time that he spoke them. But today, we can actually say a lot of it has already been done. We just need to walk in the victory that Christ has already purchased for us. Listen to how Isaiah himself puts it. You know, after he gave all those prophecies and so on. You know, here's how he put it in Isaiah chapter 44, starting at verse 23. And he would instruct us to rejoice because the Lord has already done it. Not that he's going to do it, but he's already done it. Sing, O ye heavens, the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord has done it. Can put your name there. The Lord has redeemed my life and glorified himself in my life. Lord has redeemed me and glorified himself in my life. Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses tells us, you know, there are swings of things, you know, time for this and time for that. There may be time for ups and time for downs. Well, you know, that wasn't really God's plan that we should be up and down. He wants us to be up. Hallelujah. But he also knows that there's going to be these things. There are going to be ups and downs. It's going to be night and day. Or there's going to be darkness and light. God himself allowed it so. Because after he said, let there be light, he left the darkness in place. And also gave it a name and called it the night. But we know that no night can last forever, according to Psalm 30 and verse 5. So when darkness and sorrow may endure for the night, we are assured that joy and light is coming in the morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. We have to be able to juggle both valleys and mountains. You have to be able to juggle both prosperity and adversity, because we're going to have, you know, these will occur to us at various times. That's why he says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. What should you consider? Well, consider that God has left one over against the other. He put them side by side. He allowed the darkness to remain. He did not abolish the darkness. He only called out the light. God could have abolished the darkness, but he did not. He could have said, let there be light and let the darkness be no more. But he didn't say that. He did say, let there be light. But he left the darkness in place. And he even gave a name to it. So there is a purpose for it. And the purpose is revealed here in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. The reason one is set over against the other, side by side, is to the end that we should find nothing after him, which means that we need to depend upon the Lord. It allows us during the days of darkness to remember to cry out to the Lord, you know, and it reminds us also in the dark night hours, gives us an opportunity to look forward to something better, because the day must break at some point in time. Doesn't matter how long the night is, the day must break. Praise the Lord. Now, but when you are in the valley, remember, you know, that the Lord God of the mountain is also God in the valley. That's right. And never give up or faint in the day of adversity. In fact, in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, it says that if you faint in the day of adversity, then it means that your strength is little or small. You know, so gather up your strength and don't faint in the midst of adversity. And if adversity comes, well, we got to pick up ourselves again. You know, so just like many people in the Bible, their testimonies were, such that even though they fell, they picked themselves up from the valley and began to climb again. And you must climb every mountain. Praise the Lord. A just man falleth seven times, Proverbs 24 and 16, and he riseth up again. You know, he may fall, but he's not going to stay down for the count. Maybe knocked down. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 says, I might experience some valleys, but I'm coming up back to the mountains again. Praise the Lord. There may be also some mountains that may be in front of me, but, you know, they're going to get knocked down. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. You know, for, you know, when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. There are some trials that are a necessity. They are called the purification process. There are some challenges that we must face. A part of life, they come and goes. But you must develop a posture, a winning attitude all the time, no matter what confronts you. First Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 5 to 7. He said, God has called us to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, that's reserved for you, even in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. wherein ye greatly rejoice, even though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through many trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth when gold is pulled through the fire, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's right. Whom you see not yet, but you love him nonetheless. And though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So we see that some trials must come. You can think of those trials like the valleys, and they must come. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 will tell you, think it not strange, beloved, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. These things will come. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Peter wrote at length about these things, and so did Paul. They all wrote about it. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. And I notice he said, after you have suffered a while. Not before, but after. So they are acknowledging the fact that, you know, these trials, moments of valleys will be in our lives. The word of promise to you, which is God's word, will be tried. You know, so when you are in the valley, that's like, you know, God's word being tried. Let's look at how the psalmist put it in the book of Psalms, chapter 18 and verse number 30. He said, you know, as for God, his way is perfect, but the word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust him. Well, the word of the Lord is going to try you, you know, so to see, you know, what, how you are going to respond, you know, and there will be times that you're faced with difficult things, but you pull out victory by the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 12 and 5, you know, again, this is the same thing that talks to us about various things that we must face. Sometimes little things, sometimes bigger things. This particular verse is telling us that, you know, we must win every little battle in order for us to even position ourselves for victory in the bigger things. You know, if you have run against footmen and you are weary, it says, how can you contend against horses? I mean, you run, I mean, both of you are on foot and they beat you flat, you know, and put you to shame. Then how are you going to contend against horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, in the days when, you know, everything is good, there's no persecution, there's nothing going on, and you still can't hold it together, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose and Jordan overswells its banks? What are you going to do then, you know, when there's cataclysmic upheavals and different things and persecutions all around the place? So win the little battles now, you know, and strengthen yourself for even greater things. You must climb every mountain and get the victory all the time. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 10 is also another gem for us. You know, it says, the Lord knows the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so all of these trials and things, they are intended to bring forth the best in us. You know, the best in us. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 2 and verse 3. And his encouragement to Timothy says, you know, that as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure hardness. Hardness as in the days of the valleys, you know, and so forth. At times when you're in the valley, at times, you know, when, and then sometimes mountains also, like I said, there are two ways to look at mountains. Mountains could be high experience, but they could also be hindrances. You know, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be brought down and shall become a plain, because that mountain was a hindrance. Hallelujah. You can read that in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Sometimes mountains are in our way. That's why the Lord said, you can say to this mountain that's in your way, get out of my way and be moved to some other place so that I might go across. You know, no matter what we confront, whether we are up or down, we must have the victory on every side. Here's the way that Paul puts it in the book of Romans chapter 8. And like I said, just a few exhortations for us this morning. In the book of Romans chapter 8, from verses 37 through about 39, here's how Paul put it. He said, look, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Well, are you persuaded? This is Paul's own testimony. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, not even things to come. And this man, nothing's going to move him. Height when you are up, or death when you are in the valley, nor any other creature be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's a tremendous posture of faith. He said, look, I don't care. I'm persuaded. Even things that haven't happened yet, you know, they cannot separate me from that posture. Now, and so after all the people like Abraham and the rest of them, after they had patiently endured, they inherited the promise. You'll find that Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. And so we must endure the present conflict. Now, let's consider it from a different angle as well. Consider that mountains are supposed to block your way. Well, if you cannot climb the mountain, then what must you do? You got to find a way around it. You know, you either go into scale the mountain, and if you can't, well, you can find a way around it. But get around it, you must. You know, but the Lord has promised us help. The Lord said he will level the mountains for you. He said every valley, the low points in your life, the low ebbs, if you want to call it that, will be exalted. And the things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God in your life will be brought low. Every peeping and muttering spirit that I said, aha, aha, you can't make it. Lord said, I will shut up. I will shut them up. I will bring them down. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in your life, and all flesh shall see it together. Now remember that as long as we are in this flesh, we're going to experience those moments of ups and downs. But as we train ourselves in the things of the Spirit, we may be able to experience more ups than downs. But nevertheless, whether up or down, Paul said, well, I'm instructed in all things, both on how to be full and how to abound and all these things. You know, when I'm full, I'm full. When I'm empty, you know, I'm okay too. You know, I've learned how to get the victory. Whether I'm in the valley or I am on the mountain, it doesn't really matter. I figured it out. Figured out how to do all things, you know, by Christ. Hallelujah. Instructed in all things, both to abound and also sometimes not to have anything at all. It doesn't matter. When I have plenty, it's good. When I have nothing, I'm still good. Hallelujah. Because I can do all things, he said, through Christ that strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Now, is that your testimony? Can you say that you can flourish whether you are in the valley or mountain, or whether there are mountains in front of you or not? Can you flourish all the time? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, Paul indeed said he can do it. He said, look, I can do these things. I know, verse 12 of Philippians 4. I know both how to be abased, that's in the valley. I know how to abound. You know, I'm in the mountain sometimes. And, you know, in all things and in everywhere, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, to abound, to suffer need. I mean, whatever. I can do all things. Philippians 4 and 13. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some times that mountains, even the experience in the mountain, which may be good, sometimes may also be a snare, because we must tender our hearts in humility. And sometimes people are on top and it brings pride to their hearts. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a man that was on top of the world. And he was a king at the time of kings, actually. He ruled the world. But it got into his head because he thought that by his own power, he did all these things. And the Lord would show him, you know, that God ruleth in the affairs of men. You know, so when he spoke and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the excellency of my majesty and for the glory of my kingdom, and began to just say all these things, and it was all I. Well, the Lord said to him, you know, today all of these things will be taken from you. Listen to how he said it. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You know, I mean, he was on top. And that top became even a snare unto him, because he did not give God the glory. And while the word was in his mouth, you know, there was a voice from the holy watchers that said, the kingdom is departed from thee, you know, and God's going to deal with you until you come to know that the Lord ruleth in the affairs of men, gives it to whomsoever he will. So never let whether you are up or down, don't let either situation be a snare. Some people are down and they begin to curse the Lord for their problems. In fact, Job's wife said to him, why don't you just curse the Lord? You know, now that all this evil has befallen you, just curse the Lord and die. And some people will curse the Lord, you know, when they are in the depths and darkness is all around them. But Job wouldn't do it. You know, and some people also, when they're on top, it becomes can become a snare unto them, like this man Nebuchadnezzar. So that's another way to look at mountains. But the lesson that I want to bring out today, more importantly, is that mountains that are blocking your way to success and advancement, God will level them. Amen. And when you are in the valleys, the low points in your life, God will also exalt the valley. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's the lesson that I want to bring today. And it's going to just be a short exhortation. And for you to remember that the God of the mountain also is also God in the valley. The God of the day is also God in the night. It's not the God of the night, but it's God even when you are in the night. And so he will be with you whether in the valley or whether on the mountain. But more importantly, I want to speak the word, the prophetic word today to mountains and valleys. Even like the Lord said, let there be, cause it to happen. And so I want to speak to gates and bars today. Let them be, the gates be opened, and let the bars be broken. Hallelujah. Let the mountains that are hindrances before you, let them be shattered. It's like a big iceberg in the way of the ship. Let it be smashed in pieces so that the ship can go through. Let the waters be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And let the low ebbs and the low mountains, low valleys, let them be raised and filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everyone in the room today. Let us be encouraged. Let our hearts be encouraged. Let our hands be strengthened. The hands that hang down, let them be lifted up. Let the feeble knees be strengthened. Let the heads that are bowed down be raised up. Hallelujah. And let every heart be full of joy and the victories of the Lord, even as it is this day. And I say to everyone, peace unto you, and at such a time as this. Praise the Lord. May the very God of peace grant you peace by all means necessary. Peace when you are in the valley. Peace when you are facing mountains, knowing that God has promised to level the mountains, to raise the valleys for you as well. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. That's it. A short exhortation for you today to let you know that victory is assured for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.